And after a long gulp of water, hope it solved my hiccup problems this morning. Last month, the shirt worn by Diego Maradona, it's the shirt he wore when he scored twice, including the famous, or whether you're an English football supporter, the infamous Hand of God goal against England in that 1986 World Cup in Mexico. It sold for a record-breaking £7.1 million. That's 140 million South Afrikaanse rand. It's the single most expensive item of sports memorabilia ever. And I think well worth it. When we tried looking at what would be a South African equivalent, what would be South Africa's most valuable sports collectibles? And we couldn't find a definitive answer, but we sort of settled on that Nelson Mandela's 1995 Rugby World Cup shirt would probably be the most priceless item in South African sports history. What else could there be? What are the examples also of valuable sports memorabilia? What makes something a collectible and what makes something memorabilia? And it's huge business globally. There was an American consultant and who is a memorabilia collector himself. His name is Howard Epstein. And a couple of years ago, he wrote a white paper for the financial services industry in the US. And he estimated that the collector business brings in $15 billion. That's in America alone. So that's why we thought we'd ask Wayne Smith. He's the owner of Attitude Plus.
The system is, I believe, bucket.
The system is bucket, Wayne. The system is bucket. Don't worry.
Sorry, I'm talking to somebody else here. Sorry, I don't know we were live.
No, it's fine. It is bucket. You're speaking truth. But my apologies for the long introduction. But I'm fascinated by this conversation. $15 billion brings in the U.S. economy. Alone. How big is the global collector trade, and more specifically, how is South Africa involved?
Are you asking me to reply to that?
Yes. Is there a way to quantify the industry in South Africa?
No. Okay, it's very difficult to say. As you know, we are in South Africa. We're just a small fry compared to the USA. We can't compare figures to them. But it's huge, yeah, and the biggest in South Africa of all time was Madiba, especially just after he passed. You find that stuff just after he passed, let's say for arguments that sold for 20,000. It's now, if you get 8,000 to 10,000 for now, you're lucky. It happens to all people, icons that die. When they pass, the items are much more expensive, but then the price just changes, like Princess Diana. When she died, the prices was phenomenal. Today, you can pick up the signed Princess Diana stuff for much cheaper, but that is life. In South Africa, Madiba was definitely number one, and then old Springbok rugby blazers and Springbok rugby jerseys are always in demand, especially the ones that are sort of rare, where you have like a white Springbok jersey that they worn maybe only in a couple of years that they've ever played. So Springbok worn jerseys are very, very popular.
Well, Wayne, what is the difference between a collectible and memorabilia? There's something that may not have lots of sporting or historical sporting significance on the grand scale, but is a reminder of that time. Like, for example, let's look at when was the Cricket World Cup here? 2000 and when was the Cricket World Cup? Well, we had the Cricket World
2001.
2001, I think it was. If you have a collection of buttons or certain things that remind you of it, what's the difference between a collectible and memorabilia?
Okay, they sort of intermingle. You know, there's certain people that just collect. I've got two friends that just collect Springbok rugby jerseys for argument's sake. everybody, myself, I've made a huge mistake of trying to collect everything. And I want to tell everybody out there, that's a mistake. You should specialize in what you want. Because otherwise, it's never ending. Just to give you an idea, we're speaking about Cricket World Cup, something that I don't understand. I've got no answer to. In 1999, I was fortunate enough to support the South African team in the UK when that unfortunate game happened. I think it was Birmingham. I was there. It's the only time in my life I cried at a sports event. But what I don't understand is that one of our players, Lance Kloosnan, was the man of the series. But yet, Lance Kloosnan's stuff doesn't get money in South Africa.
Lance Kloosnan was amazing in that World Cup. He was clapping in left, right, and center.
He should be much more appreciated in this country, and he's not. So, yeah, there's there's one thing I would like to say from the start, which is very important to your listeners. I've been at this game for 50 years. Even I have been caught with a Beatles signed item. More than half of the items for sale are fraudulent. That's a fact of life. Be very careful what you buy and who you buy from.
And you have designated people who can look. I've seen sportsperson signatures. I have a particular week. I'm at rest. If I'm signing an important document, I have a long flowing signature. But if you are a sportsman who's just given a shirt or a ball or a bat and you just do a squeak, how do I know that is Themba Bavuma's signature?
We've been in this business for 40 years. We have a ways and means of telling about a system that we run. We do a little bit of telling people or giving them certificates that we think the words is that we use is we think it's genuine. You cannot say it's genuine because you do not know. There's arguments like a gentleman up here that is an expert on Madiba. If you send anything to him and he charges and he comes back and says, yes, it's genuine, then your chances is you've bought the right thing. But once again, it states on his certificate that he thinks it's genuine. It's a grey area.
Yeah.
You've got to know who you buy from, and you've got to know a little bit. Okay. What's going around in South Africa right now? There's 1995 Springbok Rugby World Cup jersey signed.
Yeah.
It's impossible that there are still so many available. There's also Michael Schumacher signed caps going around. Michael Schumacher's agents don't even have caps anymore.
Well, here's the thing. We got a call about half an hour ago, and Jane can't take the call right now, but she wanted an idea of... She apparently has a signed Ferrari F1 poster signed by Michael Schumacher and Rubens Barrichello when they were part of that Ferrari team of the early 2000s.
Yeah.
How do you verify that?
We wanted to know
how could you evaluate that? And is it worth
anything? That's what we can help her with. But let me just tell you that I'm going to try and be negative now. We know for a fact there's somebody in South Africa, I'm not going to give names, that has made a stencil of Michael Schumacher's signature. Uh-huh. It's not like somebody sitting signing fraudulent. They use a stencil, which is perfect. How are you going to tell the difference from a signature that was done by a stencil and if Michael Schumacher signed it?
Okay.
The only way you can tell is by knowing that there isn't any more of these items available.
Okay.
That's a difficult story.
And that's why people need to bring it into you. But Pedro's calling in from Manimba. Good morning, Pedro. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning, Lester. I'm well, thank you. Yourself?
Good, man. You have a question for Wayne?
Yes, I was heavily involved in security at Newlands Cricket Stadium between 1997 and 2001. All the international and provincial games, they one-day matches and so on, five-day tests and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I managed to collect or gather some of the stuff that was given to us by players.
Mm-hmm.
Some I see as just items that I got. Some I gave away over the years as birthday presents and so on. I'm talking about balls, stumps, signed by the players and so on. But I've got two items. One in particular for me, I hold very dear, and not for purely monetary the reason. I've got two cricket bats. One is signed by the full, by the whole Australian cricket team at the time of Shane Warne and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have a game-used bat that was given to me.
Used in the game. Yeah, Hansie Cronje's bat signed by him.
Game. Yes. The full face of the bat with his autograph on. And that was at the time just before Sean Pollock took over as captaincy of the captaincy of the Proteas. That bat, I've had that bat now for so many years, and I've held on to it. I've never had it valued. I've never had anybody take a look at it, except for when my friends come around and cricket comes up and dragging and so on.
Well, don't give your address out on air, otherwise people will come knocking.
I can tell you now, after this, this security guard is going to need a security guard in his house.
Well, let's put that to Wayne. Wayne, you've heard that Pedro...
That one's really easy. When something has been given to you by a player and you've actually seen him sign it, I've actually got a bat that... Look, I'm in the selling business. I've got a bat at the moment that was used in a test. The Rebel Aussie cricketers by Yallop. He was an Australian captain at one stage. He gave me a bat after... He scored 190 against South Africa, and he signed it and he wrote me the whole story. Now, I know for a fact that's a genuine bat because he gave it to me. Your friend, the security man, he more likely will know me because I used it in the old days to do all the stadiums memorabilia. We used to follow teams to all the games. But anyway, he knows that the person gave him the bat.
Mm.
So he knows it's genuine, and he should do his own certificate with his story. Wow. If he thinks of selling it, do a certificate that I am such and such a... I got this bat from Hansie Cronje. Mm. I can guarantee that it's genuine because Hansie gave it to me personally.
Mm.
That is the best evidence there can be because it is genuine. He is the best guy to certify that thing is genuine. I just want to tell him on the value of that stuff.
Mm.
I want to start with also once again a bit of a strange story. There are certain sports stars that are icons.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't sell this stuff because nobody wants it. I do not know why. I can't give you the answer. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to mention some South African sports stars' names because that would be the wrong thing to do. Mm-hmm. But a certain very well-known South African sports stars, their stuff just doesn't sell. But then there's others that people just love. I tell you, the guy that's really, really loved is Russell Gibbs.
Okay.
Anything with Russell Gibbs sells because the people love him.
And there are lots of, like, similar to Pedro's story, and like, I was a kid who stood on the greens at the barriers at Newlands, and I handed over my miniature cricket bat, and I had the players, come onto the boundary and sigh. There are plenty, many of those circulating and lying in garages. That doesn't have necessarily any monetary worth. That's very sentimental.
I don't think, I did it as a kid as well. We all did. I don't think the kids that do that are thinking that they want to sell it. They're doing that because they want the signature of, let's say, Hansie Cronje. Those bats, I don't think, is really going to get into the selling market. When somebody gives you usually something personally, it becomes special to you. It's not something you want to sell. It's a memory of your life.
And that's the thing. When it comes to sentimental value versus any intrinsic monetary value. And I think that would be the difference between what is a collectible and what is memorabilia. You said that sort of there's a gray area, but there's things that mean a lot and people would come round to your house and say, shoo, that's quite, but is not going to be of real value to a collector, a serious collector.
You know, it might mean a lot to you because your personal situation, how you got that bad picture. But to another person, it's basically just whose signature it is.
And we're getting lots of pictures here of Springbok shirts and Stormers shirts with the player's signature on it. It means a lot to the person, but it's not going to fetch anything much from a collector.
Well, there's also the situation of what's hot and what's not.
What is hot at the moment?
What's hot at the moment is Stormers jerseys. Really? Liverpool is just for the last year. Anything Liverpool is just very hot. At the moment, of course, because the Welsh are here, we're putting an auction tomorrow for the Old Boys Trust in Pretoria, the Blue Bulls Elbows Trust. We put in a jersey. I was very fortunate to be friends of the 74 British Lions, who had the greatest rugby player of all time, Gareth Edwards, etc., in the team. And I've got a jersey, a Welsh jersey. Mm. It's a replica. It's not one played in, signed by five Welsh legends, including Gareth Edwards and Phil Bennett, who just passed. Mm. So what we're doing tomorrow to raise money for this fund, it's being auctioned, and we are going to show the try that Gareth Edwards scored for the Barbarians, started by Phil Bennett, mm. to the audience, and then we're going to auction it. So what's hot? The Welsh Rugby Tour is now hot. Stormers jerseys. I'm from Joburg. I'm a Lions supporter, but I must tell you that Stormers jerseys, if you can lay your hands on one, they're selling for big money.
What is also, like, I've been to houses, to home people's homes, and they have, for example, framed posters and photographs of the Proteas 4-3-8 game. It looks great. Yeah. It's a lovely mounted picture, and maybe even a nice bronze little engraved little indicator of what it is. But that's simply just a nice framed picture.
Can it's I not tell a collector. You a very lovely, can I tell you a very lovely story of that day?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a right down the alley of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That day, that night, there was a concert in Joburg with Brian Adams.
Mm-hmm.
We were not going to stay the cricket all day. We were in very fortunate in the suite of Sun International. I came lunchtime, we thought, should we stay? We're getting such hiding. And then the food was so good. We stayed. We stayed, and I watched that whole game. But here's the beauty of what I'm trying to tell you. I then went to go see Herschel Gibbs. And I first of all, I want to tell you, I've done deals with, I cannot tell you how many, hundreds of sports stars. The guy who was the most fun to do a deal with was Herschel Gibbs.
You must watch how you say do deals with cricket players, eh?
You pay for their signatures. I'm in the selling business. Okay, so I go, Herschel Kipp scores 176, I think it was. Mm-hmm. I go to Herschel, I say, Herschel, I want you to sign 176 bats for me.
Mm.
Let's do a deal. So we do a deal. He scores, I score. Mm. I must say, this is the beauty of the story.
Wait, okay, let's talk money here. So if,
no,
come on, you got to let us know how much you guys, you know, benefited from that mutually agreed contract.
We both, can I just tell you what, we both did excellent out of the deal, and that's what it must be. It must be a combined venture that both parties walk away happy.
Oh.
But the day I paid him, I wasn't happy.
Mm.
I said to my girlfriend, after Herschel signed the bats and I paid him, I said to her, you know what, Susie, we're in big trouble now. She says, why? I said, well, we just paid all this money, and I think it's going to take us 2-3 years to sell these bats. Okay? We sold the bats in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And then Herschel did something else again. Herschel scored 6 sixes. And we did the same thing, and it worked.
He scored 6 sixes against the Netherlands in the West Indies World Cup.
Yes. So we did the same thing again. But now this is what makes the story very special. Then Herschel, when I see him, and I haven't seen him for a while, I always say to him, Herschel, you owe me a third miracle. And he always says to me, Wayne, it's coming.
Okay. You don't need to tell us what Herschel's cut was. It could be 10%. It could have been 1%. We don't need to know. It could be 0.5%. We don't need to know. But how much did you sell those bats for?
We sold them framed. And I wish I kept one.
Yeah.
We sold them framed, the bat and the poster and a painting. Funny enough, I have got the original painting of Herschel scoring the runs. It's a magnificent painting. So what we did 100, I think it was 176, 174. I don't know why I can't fix it straight. We did 200 posters, 176 bats. We framed them. At that stage, we sold them for 3,000, 3,500 rand. Okay? Do you know what those bats are selling for now, if you can lay your hands on one?
Gosh.
You won't get it for under 15 grand.
I want to continue this conversation, man. And if you'll give us a few more moments of your time, we have a few listeners who want your opinion on something, and maybe you can tell them straight. It means a lot to you. It won't mean a lot to a serious collector.
Correct.
But I also want to touch on issues of, look, it means a lot to a young person. where their sports hero signs a little something. But we also know that the industry is now being dogged with people who simply want someone's signature to sell it on later. So I've noticed this in the United States, that when an adult would approach a sports person or a celebrity, the adult, the person who's in the spotlight would politely decline. But if it was a kid, they wouldn't say no, because you don't want to break a kid's spirit.
Guys, it's worse than that. It isn't becomes, unfortunately, I'm going to use the word, a racist story.
Wait, hold on to that story. Welcome back. Wayne Smith, owner of Attitude Plus. It's a sports marketing, sports memorabilia valuation company. They've been more than 25 years in the business. Let's talk about that now. Sports people wanting to, you know, it's my product. I want to control my image a little bit more. I'm very wary signing something, and then in a couple of years' time, it could make an individual very, very rich, and I don't necessarily see those rewards. What are sports people's attitudes to simply just giving up over signatures to anyone who meets them in the street?
Okay, there are different classes. I'm going to start with the top class, the real, real icons. Yeah, I'm going to mention, if I might, a name like Gary Player. Oh. Gary Player signs for people, because Gary Player is not a fool. Don Bradman signed anything you put in front of him, and he did that for a reason, to stop, let's call them bad people. Okay, Gary Player signs also for everybody. These icons, they're not dumb. They want something of theirs to be in every pub, everybody's homes. They want to be in that class. There is, and the most incredible thing here is, the guys who are in that class are all more likely the greatest sportsman that ever lived. People like Gary Player, people like Don Bradman. So that's the one class. They sign anything you put in front of them. Then we get to the other side of the coin, where people want to be protected. I'm going to tell you something now, and this is a fact of life. There's some really bad people out there. I know one guy in Joburg. He pays school kids to go to Springbok practices and stuff to get signatures for him. There's another guy that uses school teachers. He's a principal of a school. Okay. Let's get to the kid story. Which human being
is going to say no to a kid?
When a kid comes to you and wants your signature, is not going to give a signature.
That makes only complete sense. I'm going to use my kids, Wayne.
Yeah. There's, unfortunately, I must tell you, I've seen a kid cry. There's two Springbok brothers, and I'm not going to go further than that, that I've seen chase kids away. I'm not going to give their names or nothing, but I saw a little kid cry. I also go and get signatures. When I get one signature from a player, I don't pay him, and I thank him, and he's happy. But when I do, let's say 300 or 100 or 500, I do a deal with the player, and we both benefit from it.
Okay.
So there's another option. You mentioned kids. Let me tell you, this is where we live in South Africa. These guys that use blacks, can I use the name black, and I'm not being racist here. They send blacks for signatures because they know the white oak is like nearly compelled to sign. That's where we are. That's the country we live in.
It's a cutthroat industry, it sounds like. Wayne, gosh, they're using children.
Let me put it to you, why is this?
Because people stand to make lots of money. That's why they do this.
Not even lots of money. Just money. This is a very easy industry to make money off. If you've got a signed item, and it's a wanted item, you're going to make money.
I have two Rugby 2010 jackets with all the teams embroidered on the side of the jacket, and both are numbered. Do you think they are worth anything? That's from Beryl.
2010 was Soccer World Cup time.
Is it Soccer World Cup? Beryl, please clarify.
But okay, yes. Who's the teams?
Well, Beryl must call in. She must. That's a message. That's a message that we got here. This is a new look. I'm absolutely useless when it comes to digital currency, crypto, NFTs. I have a basic understanding. But Dylan in Simonstown asking, hi Lester, what does your guest have to say about sports collectibles shifting more and more to the NFT space, digital collectibles? Doesn't the collectible have to be tangible? You can feel it. You can still smell the grass on the on the rugby shorts.
Yeah. You know what's my answer?
What?
She's talking over my head. I don't know that one. I like to feel the thing. I want to smell it. I want to see the thing. Mm. I want to know that Maniki should reward this thing.
Okay. Good morning. I have a 1.5 meter wide framed picture of Ernie Els made of Lego blocks, approximately 15,000 pieces, framed with a personalized autograph. We need to sell it to raise profits for an NGO, Garden Route Food Pantry. Who could we sell it to? It has a certificate of authenticity as well. Would you be keen on that?
Yeah, yes, I will be. Let me tell you that what we do, most of my business in the memorabilia, I also do sports travel and sports functions. What we do is we do for schools, clubs, and charities. We do golf days. We do mana honor. What we do is we supply the items for the auction. We supply the auctioneer. And we give a reserve. And anything above the reserves, the charity, in this case, keeps it. But it's up to them to arrange. So as soon as people know it's for a charity or a school or a fund, the price goes sky high. Because the people are not buying it for the item. Mm. They're buying it to support the charity.
I see.
And I want to tell people who buy stuff like that, they must remember, you're never going to get your money back. Because you've bought with your heart. You bought an item because you want to support the charity. Yeah, you like the item too, because otherwise you wouldn't have bought it. Mm. But you have paid them excess to show your love.
Beryl.
Very important.
We got Beryl on the line about those rugby jackets. Hi, Beryl.
Hello, good morning.
Give us some more clarity.
Okay, it's the 2010 Rugby World Cup. They are Springbok jackets, thick jackets, very, very warm, and it's got all the names of the teams embroidered on the side, and they both numbered. Because obviously okay, they only produced a certain amount. I'm not quite sure how many they produced.
Beryl, is there no numbers on it? I would say 10 out of 20 or something like that.
Yes, that's right. Oh, that's right, yes. That's what it is.
Okay, now I want to tell you what I don't understand is I don't know this item. 2010 wasn't a Rugby World Cup. Mm. 2010 was Soccer World Cup. Mm. So first of all, if you can check that.
Sorry, it's soccer. You're right. You're absolutely right. Sorry
okay,
about
you
that.
Must say the next important thing is who the teams that signed it. If it's Spain who won the tournament, you will get a lot of money in Spain. And that items must not be sold in South Africa. It's got to be sold overseas because there's more money for these items in overseas than here.
Wow. Well, and look, the jackets aren't signed. I mean, we bought the jackets with those numbers, as you predicted, you know, over whatever it is. And, I mean, it can't be signed because they're material jackets.
Okay, what I want to ask you is...
So it's not... They're not signed.
Get my friend here on my telephone number and send me photos.
Sorry, just repeat that. Could you just repeat that?
Your friend that's interviewing us, get from me my phone number, then you send me on WhatsApp photos, and I will come back to you and tell you what I think.
Beryl, we will give you those details, and we'll put the link to Wayne's website also on our Facebook and our website when we podcast this interview. Wayne, you're also in the business sourcing shirts, team shirts around the world, and also with some help of getting them signed. You know, I'm a Manchester United fan for my sins.
That's your problem.
My favorite shirt of all time, and I've lost it along the way, and plus it wouldn't fit me anymore, was the 99 season, the treble season. It was that particular shirt, and the one before that was the Umbro, and sponsored by Sharp. It had the small little zip up.
Yeah.
Could you still get access to these vintage shirts?
Yes.
There's
two companies in the UK that manufacture vintage shirts, but of course they're not signed. Mm. You can get any old shirt from any team. Mm. You know, like for argument's sake, when Liverpool played Nottingham Forest not too long ago, I did an investigation on Nottingham Forest and I was amazed how good they were in the 80s. And their shirts from the 80s are really sought after.
Oh. Do you know the story about the Maradona shirt and the one that now fetched 1.7? So what happened in 1986? They're playing in Mexico. It's very hot. And with 3 days before that particular game, the game against England, I forget who the coach's name was. It's very hot. We can't play in the shirt. So they sent out a little kit assistant. He apparently went to 40 stores in and around Mexico City, just simply looking for shirts. And he found what was, it was a training shirt. It was what that kids use. Le Coq Sportif it was made by. And then what they did was they put on, they sewed, literally hand sewed the Argentinian badge. And also if you look at these socks, Maradona's wearing a pair of white socks with three blue rings. The other guys are wearing with two. And it was a simple shirt. It was a training shirt. It was a shirt that they bought at the local sport shop with sewed on badges on. And now it becomes the most expensive piece of sports memorabilia ever. It's funny how history happens.
Yeah, can I tell you what a nice little story about Maradona? Two things. One of the first jerseys that I sold for big money, I sold to Supersport. It was a Manchester United Maradona jersey. The second thing is that the week before this big sale of Maradona, we had a Maradona shirt signed from the first club he played for in Argentina.
Yes, what was that called?
And we got... And we got no good money for it. Mm-hmm. We were so afterwards when we heard what Maradona's shirt went for that auction you just told us, that we were sick for what we said.
You but could have been...
The Manchester United shirt you got, I'm sorry to say that there are still more Manchester United supporters in this country than Liverpool, but we're catching up. There is big demand. Big demand.
I'm shutting down this interview now because Wayne Smith is a Liverpool supporter. Go search him online. It's called Attitude Plus. Wayne Smith being involved in sports marketing, collectibles, valuations, and of course, auctions for sports memorabilia for more than 25 years. Wayne, you are indeed a storyteller. I think that is also part of the collectible story.
It's just tell everybody out there, be very careful what you buy. Make sure you're buying the right thing.
Sounds like a good guy. Wayne Smith from Johannesburg. Your thoughts? What's a piece of memorabilia that you have? That-